Here we go. It is the final hour of the Daily Tip on the BetMGM Network. Hope you're having a great morning. Coming up, it is finally over. Terry McLaurin signs with the Washington Commanders, and Trey Hendrickson agrees to a deal with the Bengals. So now we're just waiting on Micah Parsons and the Cowboys. We will talk about that in mere moments. And then coming up in 20 minutes, more on the Terry McLaurin contract situation with Kevin Sheehan from the Kevin Sheehan Show here in D.C. at the Team 980. Donkster Best Bets coming your way in just 40 minutes. Also, welcome to our audience on Stadium. You can check us out on BallySportsLive.com and the Bally Sports Live app. Oh, man. I am so glad this story is done, because we cover the Commanders here in D.C. Denton does all the time. I'm doing it all the time. We've talked about it here on this show. And then yesterday, I was chatting with Joe O and Sammy P on Bet Sweats, and we thought, this has got to get done soon, right? And then right after that, it does. Terry McLaurin signing with the Commanders. 3-year deal worth $96 million, according to ESPN's Adam Schefter. Tom Pelissero from the NFL Network says Terry is getting a signing bonus of $30 million. So at first, this was a holdout. Then it was a hold-in. And Terry was kind of lurking around the practice field in his hoodie. You knew he wanted to be out there. And we don't have these specific details yet, but it looks like both sides finally decided it was time to come to an agreement.
Yeah, and they kept their sanity in the process. Like, see, it can be done, Dallas Cowboys. You don't have to come to personal blows between the owner and the player that you're negotiating with. So I feel like this is a great way where both sides kind of had some things go their way. With Terry McLaurin, obviously he got his deal, and, you know, they went over the details where you were talking about this, where the ownership didn't want to just be like, hey, okay, we'll give you whatever you want. You've been a great player for us. We know you've been here through the bad times and the good. You still have to look at the books over the next 5 years. And you can't just be handing out money, because that's how you give out bad contracts. And Terry McLaurin is not a young pup like he used to be. So who do you think the winner is of this? Like, is there a winner and loser? Or do you think both sides like came out of this looking pretty good?
Yeah, that's kind of the way I look at it, where, I mean, we don't have the details as far as guaranteed money goes. I feel like if Terry was trying to get more than DK Metcalf, I don't think that's something the Commanders were going to do, and that's been reported numerous times. I feel like he didn't get to that level. But ultimately, this was enough for him to re-sign. So I feel like, ultimately, once we look at where this ends up being, when we take all the factors into account, my guess it would be around $28 million per. But I think this is just a win for both sides. This is just part of doing business in the NFL. I think the strange thing here is that it hasn't been a part of doing business with the Commanders in such a long time. Like, this is just a new era for this team and this franchise, be it with the ownership or Dan Quinn or Jaden Daniels. And because of that, because things are run in a way in which we're not accustomed to, that, you know, things like this, which weren't really a part of the franchise's recent history, are something that we're having to grow accustomed to. Like, yeah, this is business in the NFL. You have a star player. He wants to get paid, and so this is part of it. It makes you nervous. You get worried about it. Maybe it plays out longer than you want it to, but in the end, it usually comes together. And it's also what happens when you have a front office that knows what it's doing. Like, I always wanted Terry to get paid. There's no question. But I did not want it to be at the sacrifice of building something, because Terry deserved his money, no question. But also to a point, because you're looking at a team now with a franchise quarterback that is trying to win championships, as opposed to being a team that, maybe they'll make the playoffs.
Yeah, it's kind of champagne problems, the fact that, like, the time is now.
Yes.
Like, that's why he had some leverage, and that's why there were negotiations in this, because the Commanders know that this is their window to win championships. Mm-hmm. I know Jaden Daniels is still very young, but the fact that he is still on a rookie deal is so helpful to balance the books for the rest of the team. We've seen it with other teams that go, you know, to pretty great lengths, you know, to maybe playing in a Super Bowl with younger quarterbacks, because you get to pay other people around the quarterback. So that's why Terry McLaurin had some sort of leverage in this. And also the fact that we have used the word security blanket, maybe that's like a little too strong in this situation, but when your number one receiver for your young quarterback, you know, there are question marks surrounding if he's going to stay with the team. That's not great for your quarterback who is hoping to take the next step in his progression this year, and especially with the Commanders team that doesn't have a ton of depth at receiver, this was a big deal for the offense. This was a big deal for the city. This was a big deal for Jaden Daniels as well.
And they don't have a receiver like him, you know? Like you say, okay, you got Deebo Samuel, but Deebo is not a guy who is going to catch a ton of deep balls. That is what Terry McLaurin does. Deebo Samuel is a guy who obviously can run the ball. He's a guy who can catch passes, but he's more of a jack of all trades. He's a Swiss Army knife. Mm-hmm. And then you have Noah Brown, who's still coming back from injury. And that was a bigger problem, too, which started to sort of rear its head during training camp and maybe a little bit during the preseason. But then again, Jaden Daniels didn't throw a pass during this preseason. Like when he actually played, it was just a few running plays. They scored and they got him out of there. And he looked great. But you could see at times during practice where that lack of depth was a real problem, where you just don't, and even now it's a problem. That's the thing, because behind those top three guys, they're still kind of jockeying for someone who's going to step up in that receiver room. So that made it even more pertinent for these two sides to come to an agreement. And also, when you talk about chemistry, yeah, there's no doubt that Jaden Daniels and Terry McLaurin developed a chemistry, and that's a real thing, where you don't necessarily have to communicate everything because you know each other so well via just small looks. You know, it could be a wink, it could be a look, it could be a word or two. it's really amazing. You're like, how you doing? You know, but I swear to God, I've talked with Smoot about this when we do our podcast together, and how, you know, he and Sean Springs used to play together, and they would talk about how sometimes it was just a look. I was like, tell me about really knowing. So he goes, it got to the point where if we saw a certain alignment or we recognized something on film, I knew it was happening. He knew it was happening. We both knew the adjustments that we needed to make. And I would look, we would lock eyes and we both knew, okay, this is what we're doing here. And that goes for the offensive side as well, where sometimes you know, okay, you know what this is, right? And you don't have to say anything. So there's a real chemistry there that develops between players that is something that's, it's not really tangible. Like, it's hard to sort of, mm-hmm. Well, what does that look like? Sometimes you just know, you know, when you're around someone. And so that's something that is, you can't really put a price on that. I mean, you can and you need to, but that's a big part of another reason why the Commanders really needed to sign Terry here. So I'm glad they did.
Yeah, it's like me at Starbucks. They already know my order, you know, because there's continuity there, and they know exactly what I like. So although we will never relate to quarterback, receiver, you know, continuity, like, we see this in every walk of life.
Sure.
Like here on the show, like, me and you have been working together so long that I feel like I can read your facial cues and be like, okay, he's almost done talking, or he's done talking, whatever. So I think you can apply this to anywhere in life, and it's big. So now that it feels like, correct me if I'm wrong, this feels like this was the biggest question mark for the Commanders, and now that it is now a period instead of a question mark, are we ready to put down some money on the Commanders? So, Jenks, let me tell you, let me spin some at you. The Commanders to win the NFC, 9-1. And you know how my brain works, is that I think if you can even get to the NFC Championship game, you got one side of the coin at 9-1, and you've got great hedging opportunities. So what is the ceiling for you when it comes to the Commanders? Are you willing to put some money down on them to win the NFC? Are you willing to put some money on them to win the Super Bowl?
I honestly think they're maybe a year or two away, if we're being honest. The schedule's going to get tougher this year, and they're not going to surprise anybody, because that's a different thing, too. You know, playing Washington in the past, it wasn't an easy dub, but they didn't exactly stand out on the schedule, right? Now it's different, because now they know, other teams know, okay, well, now we have a legitimate team that we're going to have to deal with, a team that's going to be a problem for a long time with their quarterback alone and their coaching alone. I do have some concerns on the defensive side of the football. They got to learn to stop the run, and we didn't see it last year, particularly late in games. Didn't see it really in the preseason. Yeah, I know it's the preseason, but I think it's a real problem. So maybe that works itself out during the season. And also, the NFC is really tough, right? I mean, Eagles, you're talking about the defending champions. The Lions were almost there. The Niners, I'm not necessarily sure I believe in the Niners, but there's no question they have talent. I think the Rams are going to be undervalued a little bit. So with the NFC being so very competitive, I'm not going to be so quick as to say, they made the NFC Championship, now they're going to make the Super Bowl. Is it a possibility? Sure. But also, they're going to face more hurdles than they did in the past. And also, even though you make your own luck, and not the end of every game was luck, everything that could have gone right at the end of games last year went right for this team. And isn't always something that is the case. I think they're going to be very good. A bet I like better is, since we're talking about Terry McLaurin, if you look at his regular season touchdown total, it's set at 6.5. And I just think that's criminally low. I understand Debo is there now, so maybe he takes away some of the touchdowns, and Cliff Kingsbury wants to spread around the football. But Terry had 13 last year. Again, he's the deep threat in this offense, and I can see him getting over 6.5 pretty easily. So that's the bet I really like. I wouldn't mind a sprinkle on the Commanders to win the NFC, but I need to see a little bit more as opposed to a one-season sample size.
Well, if you can't stop the run, that's not great when, like, the returning biggest threat is the Eagles.
Yes.
You know, like, if you can't stop the run, that's not great.
It's a problem.
Get Saquon on that offensive line. Let me ask you this. There's an interesting bet over at BetMGM. You can pick the winning division of the Super Bowl. So the NFC East is 4-1. You get the Eagles and the Commanders. Obviously, there are some other, you know, great options where you look at the AFC West, where you've got the Chiefs, the Broncos, the Chargers, hell, even the Raiders. I know some people are high on that.
Yeah.
But I think the NFC East has two great contenders. Like, maybe look at the NFC North. Like, the more I look at these bets, the more that I am, you know, thinking about some other ones. But do you think the NFC East reigns supreme once again?
It's going to be between, isn't it going to be the NFC East and the AFC West? Isn't that going to be the competition between the best two divisions in football? It feels that way.
Hmm.
A lot of people are high on the Raiders, which is kind of crazy to me. I don't really see that. I will say this. If you're looking at the East, the Eagles are the Eagles. The Commanders are obviously better. I think Jaden Daniels at 7-1 to win MVP might be worth a look, honestly, because he's going to take the next step, especially because he has more tools in that toolbox. And also, I think the Giants are kind of trending in the right direction. They're not going to stun anybody. What I'm saying is this. They built themselves an incredible defensive line. And I think they have something in Jackson Dart. So at least for the first time, they're not going to be an easy out. Let me put it that way. And plus, the Giants always play the Commanders well. They have for years. It's just a tough division. The Cowboys are, you know, what's going to happen with the Cowboys? They're going to be very middle of the road. But I think I don't think the Cowboys are going to do anything in the playoffs. But if you're talking about competitive divisions, I think the NFC East might be it. So at 4-1, when you're talking about Eagles Commanders right there, yeah.
I think especially because, like, I'm not looking at the depth of the division. I'm looking at, like, who can truly win a Super Bowl? Like, what top-end talent is there?
Mm-hmm.
Because as much as I'm looking at the AFC West, like, the only team that I really can envision winning a Super Bowl is the Chiefs. Like, I still think the Broncos are maybe a year away. Like, do you think Bo Nix wins the Super Bowl this year?
No.
Like, I don't know.
Not yet.
I think
they're getting there,
maybe
though.
The AFC North. Because you get the Ravens. Like, I don't think the Steelers can win a Super Bowl. I don't think the Bengals can win a Super Bowl. So maybe
That's what I mean.
You just bet on the Ravens.
Yeah. Exactly. Because I feel like the Bengals still, they've got to do something with that defense, and they just haven't. And Hendrickson helps. There's no question about that. But even with them last year, they weren't great. So, yeah, if you're going to, why grab the AFC North when you can just grab the Ravens instead? Whereas with the NFC East, I think you could make a case for the Eagles. You could make a case for the Commanders. The NFC North, what am I missing there? You know what I feel like? I feel like when it comes to the NFC North, I see a lot of people on the Vikings. J.J. McCarthy has not played a regular season snap in the National Football League. And I feel like, I know their defense has been exceptional. They've also been fortunate not to have suffered any injuries over the past couple years. But I'm not banking on a division or a team where I haven't seen your quarterback play a down of regular season football at all.
God, some people would like burn you at the stake for that take. People love J.J. McCarthy.
I know.
Like, Vikings fans love him. So we'll see. I'm like you. I'm still a little skeptical.
Yeah, and look, he may be great. But that's a heavy load to carry. Like, you're immediately going to be great, and you haven't even seen the field yet outside of the preseason. Coming up next, we've given you the nuts and bolts, but now let's bring in someone who is a radio legend here in D.C., Kevin Sheehan, to talk about the Terry McLaurin deal. That is next on The Daily Tip.